In my early 30s, I joined a mom's group very similar to this. We met weekly. We discussed things. We had food that was provided for us. And it was a wonderful place. And I remember thinking at first, like, there's something different about these women. And I couldn't put my finger on it at first. And then it hit me one day. I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard one morsel of gossip, and I've been here for like 2 months. And I was like, wow, who knew that this was actually possible in a group of women to not hear gossip? It was really kind of life-altering for me. And I found that it was such a safe place that I loved it. And I started modeling and copying what I was seeing around me. I'm like, well, I want to be like that too. I want to be a safe place that people can come to as well. So I started gossiping a lot less, and I have pretty much ever since. And that was when my first child was like 3, probably, when I joined that group. So now I want to give you a disclaimer. I don't have this down perfectly. I don't think anyone does. I think gossip can be a little tricky, and we can sometimes get into some hard situations. But I have found that it's much, much easier now that I have looked at the issue of gossip deeply and honestly, like we're going to do here today. And it's one thing to say don't gossip, but it's not always that easy. So I'm going to help you out here so you can kind of assess this and work forward. So my hope for you today is that you can recognize gossip, learn to deal with it wisely, and then help you create safe spaces for people that are in your life and in your circles. All right, I'd like to ask you guys a question. Where are the places that you struggle with gossip? Who's it usually with? Is it with your family? Is it with your old college buddies? Is it with high school friends? Is it with the neighborhood gals? Is it at pickup, at work, if you work part-time or full-time? Where is it that you find you struggle with gossip? And I want you to be really honest. So I'm going to have you kind of take a few minutes at the table, discuss this and chat about where you struggle with gossip. So go ahead. Okay, ladies. So I'd like to ask you, and I hear you guys are a chatty group, so it's a little harder to rein you back in, so I'm going to have to do that. But I want to ask you, so have you identified the areas in your life? Have you thought about it, shared it possibly? Because what's really important about that is awareness is key. Like, if we want to see change in life, we have to first know where we're struggling, right? So awareness is really important to kind of know, ooh, this is the person that I need to be more careful with, or this is the situations I need to be more careful because this is where I struggle with this. And I think if we're honest, most of us can admit that there are situations that this is harder, you know, than, I mean, in high school, everybody was gossiping all the time. Well, when you get back with your high school friends, that's probably just an easy thing to do, right? So let me ask you another question. When you're in a group of people and someone starts gossiping, what goes through your mind? Anyone like to share what goes through your mind when you're standing in a group and you hear someone all of a sudden gossip, start to gossip? Yes. Okay, so she said that person's not even here to defend themselves. Anyone else? Good. Just walk away. Okay, yes? You just feel disappointed. It's a disappointed feeling. Yeah. Yes, okay. I know for me what happens is like this little red flag just goes up like this. And I say, danger, danger, unsafe person, do not confide. And I can promise you, you will never be one of my closest girlfriends. And that's just being as plain as day, because a smart, wise woman knows that if someone, like your mentor said, is speaking about someone here, tomorrow you might be the center of the conversation as well. So there are some words of wisdom, as she said, from the Bible, gazillions of verses on this, but I'm going to share a couple words of wisdom. Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Now, I was listening to a podcast last week from Michael Hyatt. He's like a guru on leadership. He was talking about drama in the workplace, and he basically was saying that so many problems in the workplace stem from drama, and they stem from people that are gossiping a lot of the time. And he basically was like, just get rid of them. Like, get them out. They're wasting your time in your workplace. They make things harder. And you guys have to agree, they do, right? Like, it's like everyone's all stuck up in this problem or whatever that this gossip has created. You need to be like a no-drama llama. Stand up. See, this drama llama here? Yes. Take a bow. I love your costume for Halloween, the drama llama. I mean, it's great. Nobody likes a drama llama. Now, I know we can go through seasons where life can be crazy. I've just come out of a crazy 2 or 3 months that I really can't control it. Like, life happens, right? But people that live in drama mode all the time, they're exhausting. They're exhausting. And so I thought it was interesting that Michael Hyatt was suggesting just fire them, of course, legally and do it through HR and, you know, all that. But anyway, okay. Proverbs 11, 12 through 13 says, "A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret." Raise your hand if you would not mind the words "trustworthy and full of understanding" to be words used when they describe you. I don't know about you, but yeah, lots of hands. That's what I want. That's what I want. But this is easier said than done, because gossip can be tricky and situations can be tricky. So today we're going to talk about what gossip is exactly, why we do it, and how we can get out of sticky situations when we're in it. And first we really have to define what is gossip. So gossip defined, and you all have handouts, so you should have this on your handout. You can take notes there as well. Gossip is defined as casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, about their private or personal affairs, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. Repeating anything that was shared in confidence. I would also say that gossip is talking about anyone in a way that harms their reputation. Have you ever heard this quote by Eleanor Roosevelt? You probably have. It's common. "Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people." Now, I love this quote, and I admire Eleanor greatly, but I do have to disagree with this, because we can be visiting with an old friend, catching up on someone's life that we haven't seen in a while, and we can do it in a lovely, beautiful way. It doesn't have to be mean, nasty, or gossip. We just have to be aware of if it starts to turn in that direction to steer it back in the other direction. Because I live far from my family, so when I get to catch up with some friends, I love it if they can fill me in on my friends' lives, what's going on, how they're doing, because I want to know how they're doing. I truly want to know how they're doing. So we're going to do a skit real quick here. Jamie has offered to be my volunteer, and we're going to do a thank you, Jamie. Woo-hoo! Here you go, Jamie. And we're going to do a little skit. We're going to do a before and an after, so to speak, okay? Oh my gosh, did you see what Jen did when she kicked her kids out of the van this morning at the drop-off line?
Oh my gosh, no, what happened?
Well, I was right behind her, and I heard her screaming at her kids at the top of her lungs. It was crazy town. I mean, I felt so sorry for them. I would never yell at my kids like that. "Johnny, get over here. Stop running around like an idiot. Come on." I don't know what's wrong with that kid. Anyway, yeah. I mean, she was like yelling and looking all foolish.
That's awful.
I don't know if I should let him go over there for a play date next week. I mean, do I want him around that kind of behavior?
Yeah, I don't blame you. She really needs to rein it in.
Yeah. Well, talk to you soon. See you later.
See you tomorrow.
All right. So we're going to take this situation, this scenario, because it's common at kid pickup, and I'm going to have you as a table sit around and try to talk about an appropriate response and how she could have gotten out of that, okay? So take a few minutes and do that. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm going to rein you back in a little. All right, does anyone have any responses that they would like to share on that one? Like what you would say if you were Jamie in that situation? Yes. Right. So you could diffuse it very easily. Love it. Great. Anyone else? Anything different? That's good. That's such a humble way of approaching it. Okay, want to come back up here, Jamie? We're going to go ahead and do this again. Okay. Oh my gosh, did you see what Jen did when she kicked her kids out of the car this morning?
No, what happened?
Well, I was right behind her in the drop-off line, and she was screaming at her kids at the top of her lungs from the minivan. I mean, it was like crazy. crazy town. I felt so sorry for them. I would never yell at my kids like that. Johnny, get over here. Stop running in circles. Ugh. No one's gotten into that kid. Anyway, she was just acting all foolish. And it was crazy.
Huh. That's not really like her. I wonder if there's something going on. I'm going to reach out to her and see if she needs anything or see if she's okay.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Maybe something is going on. All right, see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for being a good sport. All right. So now I do have to tell you this actually is a true story, and this is from a friend of mine that shared it with me. And that friend that yelled and screamed at her kids had actually called her that morning afterward and said, I feel so bad. I yelled at the kids this morning, and I have to wait the whole day to apologize to them. I was just so upset because my father, he's terminally sick, and I couldn't contain myself. I just took it out on the kids, and they were acting up. And my friend who was listening to this gossip, her had already knew what happened because her friend had called her and shared. So this is a real story. And another thing to also notice, you could probably tell with my body and my facial expressions, you can gossip with your facial expressions just as well as, it's almost like, feed me more, you know, if you have the right facial expression. So remember, your body and your face play a part in gossip as well as you're responding to somebody who's gossiping. To fully understand the issue of gossip, though, and why we struggle with it, we do need to identify why we do it. It really helps to know what's going on, and then it helps change behavior as well. I'm going to cover six reasons why we gossip and what you can do instead. All right, so the first one is venting. Venting is when you need to just get something off your chest. Any venters in the room? Kind of people that just, yeah. You just need to get it off your chest, then you feel better, or you feel like you're going to explode. All right? And then the other, number two, would be a verbal processor. A verbal processor means you have to process verbally to know how you feel, what you think, to understand. I am a verbal processor, and my girlfriends can literally just shake their head and sit there and let me talk, and almost, other than a few things, like, I figured it out by the end, because that's how a verbal processor works. We kind of can figure out why we're feeling what we're feeling and what we're thinking by verbally processing. So two things you can do instead. Well, actually, several things. But first and foremost, venting, I would suggest go into the bathroom and shut the door and scream and, like, let it out. Talk to the mirror. Scream at, you know, yourself in the mirror. Get it out. Or get a pillow. Hit a pillow. Has anyone ever done that when you're really mad? Just, like, hit the pillow. If it actually needs to come out, a pillow works great. And then also I would suggest, for either one, venting or verbal processing, that you might journal about it. I am a huge journaler, and I have a journal that I created called the Spiritual Circle Journal that helps me so much with my feelings and figure out where I'm at with things. And when I journal, I can kind of see what's going on, like what is actually happening. I can get more objective about it. I can see maybe their side of the situation. I always like to go at something when I'm upset with, God, where am I doing something? Am I doing something wrong in this situation? Do I need to change? I think having a teachable and a humble heart will help us in all areas of life. And so this is a huge way to deal with that when we get upset with something and we want to gossip about it. So another thing I would suggest is finding a safe person, preferably someone in another state that doesn't know anyone that you might be speaking of. If you need to verbally process, don't use a name, don't get overly specific. But sometimes I've got my mom who's in Florida. She's like the vault. So she'll listen, and she will not share with anyone, and I don't have to use a name, so I'm not harming someone's reputation, but she can help me work through an issue. I think a safe person is very helpful, and I think we all need to talk sometimes to figure something out. And that safe person should be someone that guides us toward restoration and guides us toward healing, not someone that will talk us into being more upset. Does that make sense? Help us to take ownership, see where we need to take ownership in the situation. So that's my next word of advice. And then the third one would be unoffendable. Now, what this means is you are just not easily offended. And you're like, well, how does that work? Well, it's really that simple. We choose to make a choice to not be so easily offended. So when I do MOPS leadership training, one of the first things I teach is, leaders, you don't have time to be offended. You have important work that needs to get done. If you're sitting around worrying about so-and-so said such-and-such and somebody offended me, You are getting distracted from your job, from the purpose and the point of this whole thing you're doing. So you're wasting time. It's a really huge waste of time. So I would suggest that when you immediately kind of like feel the hairs on your neck bristle or whatever, ever stop for a second and be like, wait a minute, why am I getting offended? I need to really have a posture of peace. And being offended easily, when you're offended easily, who are you thinking about when you're getting offended easily? Yourself. It is a very self-centered response. Now, some people might say, well, Liz, I'm just a sensitive person. Yeah, I know, God made you that way, and I do understand that. But sensitive people have to even be more sensitive to this than other people, because they're wasting a lot of their life getting offended by things that aren't even worth the time. There's even a whole book on this called Be Unoffendable. I've only read a couple chapters because I've just gotten it recently because I'm interested in reading more about it. But it really is a life-changing thing. It will save you so much hassle. So, all right, so the next slide I have, those are the first two reasons. Reason three and four would be to make us feel better about ourselves. Maybe we're jealous a little bit. And the fourth one would be to harm, to get revenge, or to get ahead. So if anyone remembers that movie Mean Girls, where the girls were just really mean, and we've all experienced mean girls in our lives. Maybe you were the mean girl. You know, there are mean girls out there, and there's people that are out there to just, they don't care. They will try to harm other people. So if you are either of these things, three or four, I would suggest that you really look deeper at this, because this is a hard issue. This is something that really could, I would encourage you to take it to God in prayer, maybe to take it to a counselor, maybe both, and unwrap why you do this. I've also found that the thing that really helps most, you know, it stems from insecurity, and let's face it, we're all insecure sometimes, right? It's life. But I found that when I remember who I am in Christ and in God's eyes, and that I get my identity from Him and not other people, or from being a mom, a wife, or a speaker, that I'm precious in His eyes, like Isaiah 43 says, and I'm dearly beloved. Remembering all these things helps me just focus on that all I have to accomplish in this life is the jobs that He gave me, to be the mother of my children, to be the wife of my husband, to be a friend to those friends in my circles. I don't have to be all these other things. And it relieves a lot of pressure. So these are kind of just some suggestions on if this is you, if you feel like these might be a couple of the reasons why you gossip. All right, number five and six would be conversation filler. So maybe you're at a party or you're standing somewhere, a pickup in the playground with the kids, and someone goes toward gossip, right? What I find is the best thing to do here is just to excuse yourself. Like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I know that sounds like, you know, I gotta go to the bathroom, or I need to get a drink. You know, or if you're at a party or whatever, it's really better just to leave and walk away than to end up gossiping. So those are just a couple suggestions. If you find that gossip is happening just because it's like there's nothing left to say, we're all kind of like, there's, you know, silence, and now we've moved into talking about people. And then number six is it's just a bad habit. And what I mean by that is kind of like eating cookies at 10 o'clock at night. Maybe it's just a bad habit. Like, I had a time in my life where I was complaining all the time. And I realized, I was like, why? Like, why am I complaining all the time? And it was just a bad habit. It had formed, it had started, and it was just snowballing and getting out of control. And I think that's what happens with gossip sometimes. It was just started in our, you know, teenage years, because that's what women and girls do, and it just kind of, you know, snowballed. So what I suggest with this one is that just ask for help. Tell if you think this is you and you're gossiping out of just a bad habit, tell your closest friend, your husband, you know, anyone that's your mom, say, hey, I'm working on this. I don't want to be a gossip anymore. If you hear me do it, can you please stop me and correct me and give them permission to do that? And most people would be happy to do that. All right, I want to cover a couple sticky situations on the next slide, which this one was a little fun to do this one because I had to do my research by reading the whole magazine through. And one of them would be rag magazines. Like, is this gossip, right? Should I even touch one of these? Okay? My thoughts on this are, after doing extensive research, is that about 80% of it was not really gossip. 80% of it was so-and-so vacationed in Bermuda, and so-and-so wore the red dress at the Oscars, and so-and-so has a new movie coming out. Really harmless stuff. It was only the front cover usually that, like, you know, like the one that talks about Ben and Jen and their blah, 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 and, you know, that one that they used to draw everybody in to buy it. That's usually, I was finding was the worst article, and everything else really wasn't gossip. So if you enjoy these kind of magazines, like People or whatever, just avoid those really bad articles because they're really not all as horrible as you would think, to be honest, at least based on the research that I've done. The next number two would be so I'm aware and so that I can help out. Now, I have some amazing, awesome girlfriends, and they are the type of people that are not going to gossip, and if they're going to tell me about something in someone else's life, it's because they know that Liz cares about this person and Liz wants to go help that person. And it's also so maybe I wouldn't put my foot in my mouth in the situation. It's not a motive to gossip. I've had, you know, and I'm not saying that we should do this very often or regularly, but I know there have been times where I've been very, very grateful that a girlfriend has let me know, you know, hey, her husband just left her, you know, something that I need to know so that I can step in and be there for my friend. Okay, and it's not a gossipy thing. It's not in a group. It's done one-on-one. It's helpful. I know that's a little bit of a sticky situation, but I just want you to know if you are someone that is a safe place, people come to you, and they need to know they can come to you, and you also are probably the type of person that wants to be there for those friends. So that's another situation that's sticky. The third situation, so I was a MOP coordinator for South Park Church MOP. And one of the sticky situations that I learned from being in leadership, and you'll learn this in the workplace too if you hire and fire and all that kind of stuff, is that you have to talk through the pros and cons of personalities and people's gifting and strengths and weaknesses. And, it can be a little hard sometimes to determine if someone's right for a role or not. And what I suggest that people do in these situations is, one, stick to the facts. If you're very factual, and you say it very kindly, that's very helpful, to stick to the facts. And two, when you're speaking, pretend that they're sitting right next to you. Just pretend they're sitting right next to you. So if you can say it kindly enough that they're sitting right next to you and that they're okay, it's probably fine. And it's probably, you know, so this is a way to help you when you're trying to figure out if somebody is right or wrong for a role, whether it's in work or in volunteer roles. So the fourth sticky situation is anyone here the resident peacemaker or counselor in your family and everybody brings their problems to you? Is anyone, raise your hand. Do we have some in the room? Yeah, almost every table has at least one. Right, okay. So this can be the tough situation too because everybody's coming to you with all their problems. And what I would suggest in this situation is you start the conversation with, I will talk with you about this, but I will not talk about it in a gossipy way. We will talk about it looking for a solution and be a solution, you know, versus the problem. Let's be part of the solution and not the problem. Make them work hard at it. Say, I'd like you to pretend they're sitting right next to me and talk about the situation as if they were sitting right next to me. It does make them work a little bit harder, but it is worth it because you're helping them work through a problem without doing harm to someone's reputation. And I think that, you know, kind of like a doctor takes an oath, right, to do no harm, we kind of want to take that oath too, to do no harm with our words, even as the resident peacemaker and counselor, as a listener. So in the next slide, Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And that's Ephesians 4:29. That, I love that verse because it talks about building others up and it talks about giving grace. And I think those are two good goals, right? Building up, giving grace. Those are things we want people to do for us, right? We want others to build us up and give us grace when we mess up. So I just love that verse. And there's many, if you wanted to do a Google search on gossip and verses, it would be a fun thing to look up in the Bible. A few more things I want to mention is really the importance of modeling. And what I mean by that is my sister and I had a fight in our 20s at some point, and we ended up working through it, we talked through it, we got to the end, it was, you know, all peace was made, and my sister says, why didn't Mom and Dad ever teach us this conflict resolution stuff? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe they didn't know. You know, I was a coach at that point, had learned some skills. I said, it wasn't, you know, we have great parents, amazing parents, but maybe they just never, no one ever taught them how to do conflict well and how to work through this. And I feel like gossip is the same way. We have to model it for our kids, how not to do it, and to talk with them about it in the same way. And by modeling these situations, when it comes up, I know with my kids, if I hear something start to happen, my immediate response is, wait, stop, that's gossip. You know, and I try to immediately stop them. And I certainly don't want to sit around talking about people in front of them. That would be giving them a model of what not to do. But I bet we all have done it before, right? Unless we actually think about it and are more conscious of it. So that's definitely an area, you know, a lot of gossip comes from conflict. So that's why I have to bring conflict and gossip have to go hand in hand, because a lot of gossip comes out of conflict. In the Bible, Matthew 18:15-17 says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church." So there's an order. There's a process for how to deal with conflict. And it is not go talk about that person to somebody else first. It is figure out what's going on with you, get in a place where you can have a good conversation, pray about it, journal about it, you know, calm down about it, and then go talk about it when you have a chance. And it's not, sometimes I have to say, you have to be careful, like if you're, you know, trying to have a hard conversation and there's kids everywhere all around you, and you, I mean, has anyone ever tried to do that, have a hard conversation in the middle of complete chaos? It's really hard. So if there's a real hard conversation that needs to happen, I would suggest you get someone on board to help you get to go be alone with that person. Because your chances of having the end result that you want, which is what you have to start at the beginning of conflict, what do I want to happen here? Like, ask yourself that question. Well, this is what happened. This is what's going on. But what do I want to happen? Well, I want this person to understand that what they said really hurt my feelings. Now, if you're unoffendable, then great, your feelings aren't hurt, but maybe what if it really was very, very harmful or something you need to talk about because it keeps happening over and over again? These are situations we need to have those conversations and go to that person first. And the bottom line really is, what do you want this outcome to be? And the outcome should be restoring and resolving that relationship. And the Bible also says as much as it depends on you. So what that means is if you go and do this and you try to resolve a conflict, and the person won't accept it or won't forgive or whatever, and you've done what you know, with the right heart, you've done what you can do, and you have to let it go at that point that you've done your part. Now, some of you might say, Liz, this is just too hard. I mean, this takes a lot of energy. Yeah, you're right. It does. It does take a lot of energy at first, but I promise you it gets easier, and it does take intentionality, and here's how I know it gets easier. People just stop gossiping around you. It's fabulous. Fabulous. I mean, I hardly ever have to deal with gossip. People just don't do it around me, especially after they hear I do the talk on Gossip Girl No More. I mean, but seriously, people kind of know my stance on that, and I love it. It is, and just think about how much less drama I have in my life than the average person, because I don't have a lot of gossip going on around me. I mean, the no drama llama, right? Like, it's wonderful. So it is effort, but it's worth it. I would like us all to take an oath. It's on here, up on this slide here. Let's read this together. Everybody put up your right hand and insert your name. I, Liz, take an oath to do no harm with my words as a gossip. I hereby swear to be part of the solution and not the problem. I aim to be a safe place for all those I come in contact with. Thank you, ladies. I hope that this has helped you kind of understand gossip a little more and help you become a Gossip Girl No More. And also want to let you know that people tend to ask me if they can reach me on social media, and that information is on this contact slide. So, but we do have, I think, yes, we have a little time for some Q&A. I can't promise you that I have the answer, because I may not, but I can try to find it for you. But I want to just give you guys the opportunity to ask a few questions. on any of this topic, anything we've talked about today, or that your mentor talked about? Anyone have any questions? Yes.
Okay, so I brought it up at our table. What if you're all, you have kids all in the same class, and there's one kid who has sent email or texting inappropriate things to other kids?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's borderline not good. So do you want to share with other parents for them to be aware of it? Is that gossiping, or is that protecting your child?
Hmm. See, I told you, sticky situations. These happen all the time. I guess there's some things you have to factor in. Do you know the mother, and is she your friend? Because I personally, if my child was sending inappropriate texts, I would hope to God my dear girlfriends would come tell me so that I could do something about it. So that's just my initial reaction. If you don't know the mother, can you get to know the mother? That might be my other thought was, I'd go straight to, especially I know ages of children, they say how to respond to situations like this. It all depends on their age sometimes. But with that situation, I might try to go to the mother and let her know. I don't know, I hate to have to share this with you. It's kind of awkward and uncomfortable, but, you know, I'm aware that your child is sending this text, and you seem like the type of mom that would want to know. You know, if you say it like that, like, you're building her up as a mom. Like, she's not the most horrible mom in the world that her kid's sending this horrible text, but I see you as this person you're a good person. I think you're the type of mom that would want to know so that you could correct it. So, does that help?
It does, except, like, when it happens in that situation and it's texts have been sent out among other moms and the school has been involved and nobody knows this mom. I was just sitting in a group, a Bible study that I was leading, and I just was really wondering, Part of the conversation was how can we help this family and this child, which was productive. The other one was how to protect your child at the same time. You know, so it is. It takes a lot of energy and initiative, but I think that's what probably needs to happen.
Well, and I think you said something that caught my attention. It basically felt icky at some point for you. That icky little feeling, that's the Holy Spirit conscience, that's, I think, right? I mean, we kind of all know. I would use that as a deciding factor. If you feel that icky feeling inside, go with that gut. Go with your gut. Okay? Thank you. Thanks for that question. Anyone else? Any other questions? Yes.
So, much to you, what you're saying about it being kind of time-consuming and a lot of effort to do that. Likewise, I think it's really time-consuming and a lot of effort to find a group of women that seems like-minded. Can you speak to, like, your past? You said you had a group of great girlfriends now.
Yes.
And you probably had to, like, prune the olive branch, so to speak, to get there.
Yes.
So can you speak to that a little bit?
Okay, so she's asking how I found this safe and wonderful group of women that are now my groups of friends. First of all, I joined a group just like this, MOPS. So it was a mom's group, and then it was a MOPS group. So I was in a MOPS group for 9 years and was in leadership there as well. So mentors, a lot of the mentors became some of my dear friends as well as the women in the group, the leaders. And also what I did sometimes was I started my own group. So I started book club. Fabulous book club. We got some great deep discussions. I happen to love Christian fiction in the Jane Austen era, although I don't really like Jane Austen that much, but I love that whole era. So I would do those and then some other books as well. And you would just get in some deep discussions that way, and we got to really know each other in my living room. So that was something we did as well. Also, got in other groups, led a MAPS group of women. So we led them through the Listen to My Life MAPS, which is a really deep thing. So I kind of put myself in situations where I would get to know them in deep ways, and I started... You know, there's always a saying you have to go first, and I went first as the vulnerable one. Safely, as your mentor said before, you have to be safe. Not everybody is a safe person, and you have to know the difference, and don't just lead with your biggest and darkest, you know, secret right away. That's really dangerous. So, but that is a very good question. Thanks. It took time, and it took an investment, best investment I ever made in the world. And I've got about 3 groups of women I could call at 3 in the morning and the night, and they would be there. Like, I've invested in them, and they've invested in me. And I'm meeting them for lunch afterward, actually, at my house. We're having lunch today. So I can't wait. I'm having salad. Can't wait. Anyone else? We're having salad. We do this thing. It's called, this is really fun. We meet monthly, and we all... often would bring a thing for the salad. So someone brings the almonds, someone brings the boiled eggs, someone brings the romaine lettuce, someone brings the croutons. And everybody, or, you know, a couple things each, but tomatoes. And we have the biggest and best and healthiest salad bar you will ever have, and it's so fun. So that's just a fun, simple way to get together with your girlfriends. All right, so how are we doing on time? One more, or should I be, wrap it up? One more? One more. Okay, one more question? Yes. Oh, the drama llama. I love her. Yes. No drama llama.
Okay. Let's say an acquaintance is gossiping about a friend. And you say to the acquaintance, you know, inappropriate, whatever. Do you tell your friend that this person is talking about them if your friend considers them to be a safe person with you or not?
Okay. Yes. I would not tell my friend who was saying what they were saying about them, but I would have a conversation about them, about who are the safe people in their life, and ask them who they consider those people to be, and maybe just kind of go down that road and see where that leads.
What if they say acquaintance?
So they say this person is a safe person. That is a good question. No, I'm anyone have any mentors in the room? Anyone? Anyone want to help with this one? Because that is a hard one. That's
confront the gossiper first.
I know she considers you one of her closest friends. And I would do it in private, one-on-one. Never, ever have a hard conversation or anything that puts someone in an uncomfortable position with other people around you, or just setting yourself up for a failing conversation. So that is a great idea. Thank you for that advice. Okay, yes?
I just want to check into that. Yes, I'm so glad you brought it up. Like, kids know they roll their eyes whenever I bring it up. If you feel wrong, go to the record staff. Talk to the record staff. And that just seems to have been what the kind of the anger, hold on to everything, but flirtation that might hold on to in those kinds of situations.
Yeah, and you just made me think of something I did want to share, that in all these groups of women that I'm in and that I've been part of, one of the things I lead with often, and as a leader too, is I will never, ever purposely offend you. That is not my heart. I almost get teary-eyed thinking that someone would think I would purposely offend them. Like, that's just not me. And if I do, please come to me, like, immediately. Don't wait around. You're just letting yourself brew on something that just doesn't need to happen. I'm going to make it right with you, no matter what. I can promise you that. So that is a great way to lead in groups, in relationships, and be a model for other people about that as well. And, you know, people are going to appreciate that. And it doesn't mean they always will. I have had a situation where someone, I found out a year later, they were upset with me and I didn't know. You can't make someone come to you, but you can do your best, you know. And you know, we have to give people grace. We can go through seasons. I know sometimes people can think that because, like, for instance, I'm a leader that, you know, I have it all together. Yeah. Like, I don't. Like, I don't. I have just as many problems as everyone else in the room. And there might be a season where I can be your rock and be there for you for, you know, all the time. And there might be a hard season in my life where I can't. And it, like, being grace-filled for people and realizing that no matter how it looks on the outside, they're just as human as you. Venting to your husband. He's probably one of the safest places to vent, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, that is a really tough one because I think I trust my husband very much. I don't know about you guys. Most of you probably do. That is a safe place. I mean, if there was anywhere to vent, probably the safest, it would be your husband, to be honest. I just would be careful how you do it, you know, that you're destroying the reputation. I remember people used to say, like, they would talk bad about their husband to their mother or their sister, and now their sister doesn't like their husband anymore. You know what I'm saying? Have you guys heard of situations like this? And it's like, you created the problem because we, you know, it happens. It really, we all have done it. So, all right, ladies, I got to go because of time, but thank you so much. And if you'd like to look at a Spiritual Circle journal or have any questions on that, they're at the back table, or just any other questions, I'll be around. So thanks, ladies. All right, girls, thank you so much for coming. I hope you had as much fun as I did this morning. We love you, and I hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time.